Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. Should the state be in the business of high-tech business development, or should the free market do the job? It's a question before voters and State Issue 1 on the May 4 ballot. Issue 1 would extend Ohio's Third Frontier program by authorizing $700 million in additional bonds, the revenues of which would be used to start up or expand on high-tech development in the state of Ohio. Voters 4 years ago approved a similar issue that authorized $500 million in bonds. Proponents say that it has been a good investment in job creation and future tech development. Opponents say that we should let the free market do the job, and that whatever jobs and businesses have been created would probably have been developed without the injection of state money. Mark Kilmer is a senior fellow at the Maryland Public Policy Institute. He formerly was with the Ohio free market think tank Public Policy Solutions, and he's written about why third frontier style funding for technology development doesn't necessarily work. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Ted Ford, he's president and CEO of Tech Columbus, which has led the Central Ohio effort to secure $15 million in funding and $7.5 million in local matching funds to launch the Tech Smart Initiative. It's a program to accelerate the launch of new tech businesses. Welcome to the show, Ted.
Thank you.
Can you tell us how Third Frontier works?
Well, it's not a state program per se. It actually works with private industry in order to create new jobs. So it is a targeted investment program where the state looks at industry strengths in the region as well as research strengths we have statewide, and actually provides seed money to accelerate the development of the companies, the creation of companies, or the development of research centers that can produce jobs in the future. So it's all market-driven, and it's highly competitive. So if you are a company that needs money for expansion, you can make an application for those funds. You are evaluated based on very objective criteria, and you have to deliver on the results that you said you would deliver on. It's not a state-run effort. It's a state-supported effort, and it's really private industry that makes it happen.
Who gets to decide which companies benefit from this? Who's on that decision-making board?
Right. Well, we have a Third Frontier Commission, which is made up of the Chancellor of the Board of Regents, the Director of the Department of Development, and the Governor's State Science Advisor, but also has industry representatives from each of six regions of the state. And again, it's a very competitive process where proposals are evaluated in some cases by the National Academy of Sciences, if that's appropriate, or they're evaluated by outside business consultants, and recommendations are made based on merit.
How much is left from the $700 million that was generated back in
500 million.
I'm sorry, wrong year. Million.
I'm not sure exactly how much is left. I know about $548 million has been expended so far. Mm-hmm. The beauty of that is it's we've gotten great leverage on that. So $9 of other funding has come in for every dollar the state has put into the program.
What attempts are there made to spread the money out over regions so that regions benefit with some kind of parity?
Well, the reality is it's a competitive process. You want to use the money most effectively. So companies and universities and individuals around the state can apply. But the money is not allocated based on regions. It's allocated based on the strength of the proposals that come forward. So actually, you know, it does get spread around the state. So if you looked at a map of everybody that's received these funds, it's pretty much distributed statewide, but that's not an objective.
A lot of the money goes to universities.
A significant portion does, and it's to create world-class centers of excellence that can drive job creation and build companies in the region. So one example is the Bioimaging Center at Ohio State University, which is nationally and internationally recognized and is a source of new technology that can be used to build new companies.
How much effort is made to funnel the money to help new companies expand? to get new companies growing in Ohio?
Well, there's a significant amount of money that's going towards that. In fact, Tech Columbus here in central Ohio works very aggressively to identify entrepreneurs who have an idea for a new company, help them really vet their idea, develop a business plan, a go-to-market strategy. So we can fund them at a very early stage for up to $50,000 just to validate whether they've got a business concept. And then we can invest up to $300,000 to $500,000 in the most promising companies to get them stood up. And then we work with them to go to market, develop their product, and get follow-on investment. So there's a significant amount of money that's being put into that. And we are one of six organizations around the state that's doing this. So each region has an organization like Tech Columbus that works with new startups.
Was that created as part of the original issue that voters approved?
Yes. So 2006, roughly, is when the program that we operate was introduced. And so we've been doing it now for about 3 years. We've worked with about 5,300 people in the region who had an idea for a company. Roughly 1,000 of those are really advanced in some manner, and we've been able to finance and stand up a number of those as well.
If you're just joining the show, you were listening to Ted Ford. He is president and CEO of Tech Columbus. He's also a proponent of Issue 1. It'll be on the May ballot, and it would extend Ohio's Third Frontier program by authorizing $700 million in additional bonds to generate revenue to go toward these sorts of companies. Also with us, Mark Kilmer. He's a senior fellow at the Maryland Public Policy Institute and formerly with the Ohio Free Market Think Tank Public Policy Solutions. He's written about why third frontier style funding for technology and development doesn't necessarily work. Mark, why doesn't something like this work?
Well, it works to a certain extent in the fact that it does allocate money to businesses and there are jobs that those businesses create. But when you're looking at what it creates, you're only looking at one side of the equation. You also have to look at where this money comes from and how that money has been allocated and what negative effects are a result of that. And what you have is you have the state taking money from the taxpayers and borrowing money. I mean, this money is borrowed, but let's be clear where the money ultimately comes from. It has to be paid back through general revenue fund. This is ultimately taxpayers' money, and the idea that this is just some sort of free money, which seems to be kind of the impression left by the campaign in favor of it, is not quite right. This is going to be paid back by the taxpayers over the next 15 years or 20 years. I'm not sure about the exact time frame, but it's going to have to be paid back by state taxpayers, and that money is taken out of the economy, is taken away from entrepreneurs and businessmen and individuals and consumers, and it's directed to these businesses that are either businesses that could not get funding in the private sector and must go to the state for it, which indicates they don't have all that great of a business plan, or they're businesses that, if they have a truly good business plan, could have gotten funding in the private sector. And so it's really politically directed economic development as opposed to economic development that comes from consumers and businesses. And so I think that, yes, you can point to successes from the Third Frontier program, but it's much harder to point to the business destruction that has been caused by the taxes and borrowing done to fund this program.
Ted?
I'd just like to respond to that. This is Issue 1 is a $700 million bond issue over 5 years. It's, the Third Frontier is probably the most successful economic development job creation program in the state of Ohio and has generated a tremendous amount of economic activity, new job creation, 55,000 new jobs, 600 new companies formed, innumerable companies that have been able to expand employment as well as their operations with these funds. And all of that, it's generating tax revenue back to the state. It's not new taxes. It's existing tax base, but there's a lot more activity, a lot more people with jobs paying taxes. And it's paying back this investment very quickly. So a study that was done by the Ohio Business Roundtable indicated that by 2014, every dollar that has been spent to date by the state will be returned to the state in the form of tax receipts on existing taxes. So as you expand the number of people who are employed, the number of people who are getting ahead as a result of this, you're going to see a lot more return to the state. It's just a heck of a return for the state of Ohio.
I don't disagree that economic activity, of course, produces more tax revenue and things like that. I think the other gentleman and I have a fundamental disagreement about economic growth comes from. But I think that if Ohio is really interested in economic growth and expanding the job base and expanding, moving from more of a manufacturing economy to a high-tech economy, which is kind of what the Third Frontier is about, it would do much better to address some of the problems that have hampered Ohio's economy, some of the labor laws, some of the tax laws, some of these other things that will produce economic growth without having to use this corporate welfare model that the Third Frontier represents.
You know, Mark, I was thinking about what it costs to start up a business today versus what it might have cost to start up a high-tech business today versus what it might have cost to start up, you know, a typical business back at the turn of the century, the last century, not this most recent one, but the one before that. High tech just screams big bucks to me that you can have a great idea. You could be a PhD in physics and have a new idea for something, but you're right. I mean, you don't have the business plan perhaps, and you don't have the resources, particularly in a down economy. Generating these kind of businesses, wouldn't you agree, is different than the olden days?
Than
the Wright brothers, for instance?
Well, I mean, there are obviously differences between high-tech and the Wright brothers, but I don't think the fundamental difference is the same. There are organizations out there and there are people out there that invest in new businesses. I mean, they're venture capitalists. There are banks to give loans. I mean, there are other funding sources. And those people in the free market that are making those loans are doing so that they can make money. I mean, you know, obviously they are trying to make a profit. And so they have a very, very high incentive to make sure that what they are investing in or who they are lending to, you know, has a good business plan, has a solid plan to succeed, or else the lender loses the money, and you know, not only the entrepreneur, but you know, the lender is penalized for that. And of course, I mean, not all lenders, you know, make wise choices and things like that. But in general, there is much greater incentive when you're dealing with your own money, or your investor's money, or your partner's money, to make better choices than you're dealing with tax money. And so, you know, these businesses, which, you know, these high-tech businesses, which may cost more to open and, you know, may require more capital, you know, as we have seen, there are some very highly profitable high-tech businesses and very profitable, you know, biotech businesses. And, you know, and even with the Third Frontier, you know, they've had all these success stories of people who are profitable and people who, you know, made money and are growing their business. If these businesses are so good, these businesses should be able to get private lending to back them up, because you know the private businesses want to invest in people that are profitable, that are successful. And so there is already an existing model out there in the private industry to fund these businesses, that these entrepreneurs that have good business plans, even if, you know, they are more expensive to operate, you know, to open than, you know, the Wright Brothers bike shop, for instance.
We have to take a quick break. That's Mark Kilmer. He's with the Maryland Public Policy Institute. Also with us, Ted Ford. He's with the Tech Columbus. He's president and CEO of the Tech Columbus. We'll get back to this discussion about State Issue 1, which would extend Ohio's Third Frontier program by authorizing $700 million in additional bonds. If you have a question or comment, come on aboard at 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Hi, we're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. You know, a lot of people consider themselves automotive experts.
I had this theory that it put all the strain on the alternator from the battery and...
Kelly,
stop. You're hanging yourself. It's getting embarrassing now.
It was a great idea, but give it up.
Why not run your theories by us and 5 million other listeners, too?
Join us for Car Talk.
Car Talk Saturdays at noon on WOSU, NPR News, and classical music. 68 degrees in downtown Columbus, sunshine today and a high of 83. A few clouds tonight and a low of 63.
Support for WOSU comes from the law firm Isaac Brandt Ledman & Teeter, offering legal services to Central Ohio since 1936. Isaac Brandt Ledman & Teeter, big enough to win, small enough to care. On the web at isaacbrandt.com.
All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're talking about State Issue 1. It'll be on the May 4 ballot, and you can vote on it if you registered to vote, so don't forget to do that. We have an email from a listener. If you would like to email us, go to allsides@wosu.org. But I, wait a minute, before we go to that email, sorry, listener, I want to talk about, go back to what Mark was saying and ask Ted to respond to, why doesn't the classic venture capital market, why isn't that enough? Why do we need to do more?
Well, venture capital works for companies that have demonstrated that they have rapid growth. They're stood up. They're on their way. Venture capitalists come in usually later in the process. We work with companies that are so young, so new, in many cases, that they are not being looked at by venture capitalists. They're too early. They can't get loans. They don't have any access to capital except what can be provided to them through this process. So by providing very early stage money for companies, we actually get them started much quicker, we get them spun up much quicker, and they become actually of interest to venture capitalists once they've reached a certain size. We're seeing in Ohio an increase in the amount of venture capital coming into the state simply because of the investments that Third Frontier has made in companies that are doing well and are attracting outside interest.
Is that something that the companies that have participated in the Third Frontier program have to report?
Absolutely, yeah. There's a high degree of accountability around this program. So, you know, not only are the companies that are funded, not only do they have to go through a very competitive process and really prove that they're capable of using these funds to the best advantage, but they also have to perform based on what they said they were going to do. And job creation and the growth of the company, follow-on investment, all those things are measured very closely.
Okay, now we'll take that email from a listener. If you'd like to email us, go to allsides@wosu.org, or you could call us at 614-292-8513. We'll get to the calls in just a minute. And from the listener writes, though a commendable program, why must the Ohio Constitution be involved? Isn't Third Frontier merely another government program? So those are kind of two questions. There's a reason for the Constitution. It's because they're expanding the debt limit, I think.
It's not expanding the debt limit. It is, in fact, what we're doing here is authorizing the use of bonds for purposes other than bricks and mortar.
Okay.
And that's the primary reason why we have to amend the Constitution.
But the debt, the state's debt ceiling is also being moved in the process.
This is done outside the debt ceiling.
Okay.
And in fact, in Ohio here, we've had some very conservative fiscal management, and I know our counterpart on this call may not agree with that, but the reality is we're very, very much below our debt capacity currently. Among states, we are 38th in terms of per capita state tax burden. We have a very good bond rating. And this $700 million sounds like a lot of money, but it's not a huge addition to the state's debt.
Actually, it doesn't sound like much at all to me, considering that was the last hole they had to plug in the state budget,
yeah,
or somewhere around there. Mark, are you comforted at all, Mark Kilmer, by the fact that the folks who are doing the judging on this score, many of them are from the private industry, from the private sector?
I mean, I'm a little more comforted than if it were more political. I do think that you know, there is a little bit too much politics in the Third Frontier, although it is much less politically driven than some other corporate welfare programs. But you know, you had Lee Fisher as head of the Department of Development up until I believe he announced his run for the Senate.
That's right.
You have these politicians that are out there crowing about the Third Frontier, you know, and really taking credit for these jobs and things like that. I mean, and that to me is part of the problem, is that, you know, you have very strong bipartisan support for the Third Frontier. You have very strong support from chambers of commerce and other things like that. And you know, when you have corporate welfare programs like this, that is something that can be expected because it allows politicians to take credit for any jobs that are directly created without having to take blame for the jobs that were destroyed through the taxes and misallocation of resources that brought the funds to the Third Frontier program. And you also have businesses that, of course, love corporate welfare. I mean, it should be no surprise that the Business Roundtable produced a study that found that this was a great program. Any government program that gives taxpayer money to businesses is going to be popular with businesses. The fact that you have, you know, corporations and the private industry supporting this and, you know, involved with the evaluation doesn't comfort me as much because, you know, just because the private industry, some, you know, private business people support it, some private mm-hmm. business people are involved, doesn't mean that it's really letting the market work. You know, okay. One of the main problems I have is that this is, you know, reallocating taxpayer money to private business, and that is certainly not the free market.
Yeah, that's Mark Kilmer. He's a senior fellow at the Maryland Public Policy Institute, and if you're wondering why we have him on the show, he was formerly with the Ohio Free Market Think Tank Public Policy Solutions and has written about why Third Frontier style funding for technology development isn't necessarily a good idea. Ted Ford.
Yeah, I just want to point out that the supporters for the Third Frontier include not only the two candidates for governor, John Kasich and Ted Strickland, but most of the members of the Ohio General Assembly, Republican and Democrat. We also have over 150 organizations statewide that have endorsed this, and they include Communication Workers of America, AFL-CIO on the labor side, but also the Ohio Chamber of Commerce, chambers of commerce pretty much all over the state, both political parties, the Ohio Manufacturers Association. There's any number of organizations that have supported this. There is no opposition to it. So it's not we talk about corporate welfare. This is not corporate welfare. This is targeted investments by the state of Ohio in areas where we believe we can spin up companies, we can help existing companies expand, and we can create jobs. And we have examples of and these are not just high-tech jobs. So we have examples of people around the state who have been laid off, who have found employment with new or expanding companies that have received Third Frontier support. And we're really creating a new opportunity for traditional manufacturing employees to move into jobs that suit their skills but in different types of companies.
These aren't loans. These are grants. Is that right?
These are it's
How
a combination.
How does that work? Okay.
Yeah, it's a combination. There's a combination of loans and grants. But for the most part, we're talking about, for example, in our case, we make an investment in a company. It's a convertible loan. So they can actually pay it back, or we take stock in the company. There are different ways that you can put money to work. Some of them are grants. So, it depends on the nature of the particular aspect of this program. There are many parts of the Third Frontier, and they all operate a little differently.
I guess I was wondering, you know, Lockheed Martin, I think of it as a big company in Akron. It received $1 million to improve fabrics on high-altitude airships that they're developing for the U.S. military. Why couldn't Lockheed Martin come up with the money themselves? That's $1 million. Now, I know that's a lot of money to me, but to Lockheed Martin, why couldn't they just come up with it themselves? Were they threatening to move jobs to another state or something like that?
Well, there is a competitive aspect in terms of Lockheed Martin. They're not only a national company, but they're an international, global company. You do want those jobs here, and you want the research and development done here. My suspicion, I don't know the details about this particular grant, but I would expect that Lockheed's probably putting several times that amount of money into this project themselves. So by assisting Lockheed in making the decision to do that here, I think we've protected Ohio jobs and really created new employment opportunities.
We're talking about State Issue 1 on the May 4th ballot. You can give us a call, 614-292-8513. And let's go to Herb. You're on the air.
Good morning. Enjoying the program very much.
Thank you.
The gentleman who is seems to be opposed to government involvement we all ought to check out the history of our country. It's not that this kind of thing is anything new. You know, we built the National Road, which still run through Columbus. It's called Route 40. At government expense in the early 1800s, we built canals. We subsidized railroads in the 19th century. We built the Panama Canal, the St. Lawrence Seaway. We built the interstate highway system for the trucking industry. We built airports. We've subsidized the airlines industry rather heavily. And, of course, in the last year or so, we've pretty much subsidized the banking and mortgage industry. To say that there's no history of the government being involved in this kind of stuff or little involvement in it, it's just not historically accurate. So that's about the story.
Okay, Herb, Mark, you want to respond to that?
I don't believe I ever said that there was no history of the government being involved in this. Of course, there's a history of government subsidies for a variety of businesses.
That's why people like you have jobs doing what you do.
Well, it's yeah. I mean, if government were smaller, there would certainly be less market for people like me to criticize the growth of government. So, no, I mean, you know, the government has been heavily involved in canal building and all those sort of things. I mean, early in Ohio's history, there was quite a lot of involvement in that, and I believe that's why the state constitution was changed in the 1840s, because it was such a mess and because there was so much wasted money and cronyism and, you know, an early form of corporate welfare back then that was really posing problems to the state and wasn't leading towards economic growth. And if you look at the, you know, the history of the transcontinental railroads and things like that, you will see, you know, that many entrepreneurs did not use government money. And then there were also entrepreneurs who...
That's not accurate.
Yeah. An old professor of mine called political entrepreneurs versus market entrepreneurs, people who, you know, sought to use the government to, squelch their rivals and mm-hmm. and get public money for their services, and those who went without. I certainly agree that our nation has a long history of this, and I certainly agree that there, you know, the bailouts and all those sort of things are happening recently. I don't think those are a good idea either. And if Ann wants to have me back to talk about the banking bailouts and the auto bailouts, I'm happy to. But I mean, I'm focusing on this. I'm not criticizing Ohio for doing something unusual. This is par for the course. Other states do it. I fully acknowledge that. Ohio has many other corporate welfare programs, too, through the Department of Development.
Okay.
It's not unique.
All righty. Herb, does that do it for you?
No, actually.
The gentleman's
misled us a little bit on the railroad business.
All
the entrepreneurial part, he's leaving out the fact that the government gave massive amounts of land in a 10-mile-wide strip on both sides of the Transcontinental Railroad and others to the businesses to the entrepreneurs who were building the railroad. So there was massive government subsidy. So we need to be accurate when we
Mark made the point that they did leverage the government in other ways, that they might not have taken cash grants from the government to develop the business, but that they did leverage it in other ways by squelching competition. And I think the land would fall into that category in my mind. Mark, is that what sort of thing you were talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I would urge the listener to pick up a book by Bert Folsom called Myth of the Robber Barons, where he does talk about the railroad issue in greater detail. And so, I will defer to the expertise of my old professor Bert Folsom on that. But Myth of the Robber Barons by Bert Folsom talks about the railroad issue, which the caller is discussing.
Okay, Herb, thanks for your call. You know, Ted Ford, President and CEO of Tech Columbus, you've been working on attracting this sort of money to Central Ohio, but there are other ways, as you know. The Ohio Department of Development does all sorts of things already. Why aren't those kinds of incentives adequate when it comes to high tech?
Well, high tech, not just high tech, but companies that are starting up that have a technology base of some kind, require a lot of upfront funding in order to get themselves stood up. So if you don't have any revenue, a tax incentive doesn't help you. So you need actually upfront cash to be able to launch and put a business into motion. And the same is true of a company that wants to expand. It's very difficult to finance a major expansion of a company based on kind of traditional incentives. Though I will say that many times third frontier dollars and traditional incentives are combined in order to help make a big project happen. that might not otherwise happen.
Is there been a danger, a trend toward favoring certain fields of technology, medical versus advanced energy and other segments like transportation and that sort of thing?
I don't think so. I think there's there are industries in the state that are different phases of maturity, and there may be some additional funding that goes to the more mature or the most energetic sectors that we have out there. But it's pretty well spread across, and we are looking at all of the areas where Ohio has strengths as opportunities to make investments that can create new jobs. So advanced energy is one that I think we have a major opportunity in because it involves manufacturing, actual materials. If you look at, say, Northwest Ohio, the solar industry up there is growing dramatically, and there are manufacturing jobs that come with that. So it's I think it's fairly evenly spread.
The solar industry in Central Ohio, on the other hand, I don't think so. But it's good for the complexion. Mark Kilmer, a lot of the money is going to large universities, which are publicly funded. A lot of the large publicly funded universities anyway. Does that matter you in the long run, how it goes to the universities?
Obviously, publicly run universities are a little bit different story than private industry. I think that, to support university projects and research projects, that is probably properly handled under the Board of Regents or other agencies that handle the universities. I'm not, public money going to public schools mm-hmm. is kind of a whole separate area of, criticism and things like that. But, my main objection to this is mainly the corporate welfare aspect where it's, private industry receiving taxpayer money.
Okay. We're going to have to take another short break. When we return, we'll get to some of those calls. Also, back with Ted Ford, he's president and CEO of Tech Columbus, and Mark Kilmer. He's an opponent of State Issue 1 on the May 4th ballot. He's with the Maryland Public Policy Institute, but he used to work for an Ohio think tank, Public Policy Solutions. If you'd like to join the conversation, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Get more radio. The WOSU Spring Membership Drive begins soon, and if we raise $20,000 before May 6th, we'll take one day off the drive. Get more programming and less pledging when you make your gift to WOSU. It's fast and easy and will help us reach our overall $175,000 goal. Get more of the radio you love to listen to by making your contribution right now. Visit WOSU.org/pledgefree to make your gift.
And this is WOSU 820 NPR News. In 20 minutes at 11 o'clock, All Sides Weekend will be here with host Marilyn Smith in a discussion of the best food and restaurants in Central Ohio. Join us for All Sides Weekend at 11 on WOSU. And near 70 degrees in downtown Columbus, sunshine today, a high of 83. A few clouds tonight and a low of 63 degrees. Clouds for the weekend with rain showers and thunderstorms throughout Saturday and Sunday. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're talking about State Issue 1. It's going to be on the May 4th ballot. You can vote on it. It would extend Ohio's Third Frontier program by authorizing $700 million in additional bonds. If you want to talk about this, give us a call, 614-292-8513. And caller, you're on the air. You want to talk about whether social services qualify for Third Frontier money? Why is that? Are you being funny or what?
Two reasons.
Okay.
First, it's my self-interest.
Okay.
As well as yours. And second, if you invest in human resources, then you have healthy, safe, and productive employees for your fancy-schmancy high-tech industries. However, the state has abdicated funding for social services and mental health and crime prevention. So I'm wondering whether we can get these necessary infrastructure, human infrastructure, fixed through the third frontier.
I'm just going to guess that Ted Ford's going to say, yeah, by creating jobs for people. What do you say, Ted?
Well, you've got it. I mean, by creating jobs and building the tax base in Ohio, generating more revenues into the state as well as local governments, you can fund social services that are much needed. So the third frontier will not address that directly, but it certainly addresses it indirectly.
How much tax revenue has it generated?
Return on investment, again, I don't have the specific numbers on that, but what I do know that is of the, you know, the $548 million that's been expended according to the studies that have been done, and this has been thoroughly studied, we've already paid back half of that in terms of new taxes, not new taxes, but new tax revenue that have been generated by the economic activity that's been created.
So after that's paid off, then it's just...
It's gravy.
That's the so-called gravy. We have an email from a listener. They ask what the value of the Third Frontier portfolio is.
I don't have that number, but, again, we've invested about $548 million so far. A lot of those investments are early stage. It's very difficult to put a value on what's actually been created to date, but that's how much has been expended.
One of the reasons that folks say that Third Frontier is necessary is because the technological development can sometimes take a lot longer.
Exactly.
But, you know, Ohio taxpayers are strapped right now. They will wait. Why should I have to wait 20 years for somebody else to make a bunch of money? How does Third Frontier limit its outlook, or should it not limit it at all?
Well, I think, you know, the returns on this are already being felt by the taxpayers, so they're not having to wait 20 years to see the impact. We're on a rapid uptick here in terms of the number of jobs being created, number of companies that have been assisted in expanding. As we come out of the recession, I think we're going to see a lot of just benefits that come from having taken those steps to begin with. So I don't think the taxpayer has to wait for 20 years. On the other hand, we can't simply drop the ball at this point.
I was going to ask, what's the ramification of not passing it?
Well, that's it. I mean, we've started a lot of very important things. We have a lot of companies that are expanding. We need to stay the course, and we need to continue to invest and expand what we do in this area because it is paying off. It is the most successful economic development jobs program in Ohio history. It is well run. It is very accountable. It is studied. When we talk about jobs created, we talk about companies assisted, all that is documented. So we have proof that this is working.
I guess, Mark Kilmer, maybe this is sort of your worst nightmare, that it just needs to go on and on and on?
Well, yeah, the Third Frontier was initially set up as a limited time program. I mean, when, you know, Governor Taft, pushed for it, it was for a set number of years to get these businesses started, and then it was over. Because presumably its work would be done, Ohio's economy would be turned around, everything would be great. But, you know, as we see, you know, the most permanent, I forget what the saying is, you know, the most permanent thing in life is a temporary government program. You have all these businesses that are, getting this corporate welfare, and you have the chambers of commerce, which of course love it. And you have these politicians that love taking credit for, you know, these jobs that were supposedly created. And, you know, it serves the interest very well of, you know, the politicians and the lobbyists in Columbus to keep this going. And, you know, the businesses produce these studies, and the Third Frontier produce these studies that, you know, say they're doing great, as if we could expect studies from them that would say that they should be shut down. And, this is a perfect example of the problems that happen when these corporate welfare programs are set up, especially when they're supposed to be temporary, they really don't turn out that way. And it's going to be a permanent drain upon the taxpayers of Ohio.
614-292-8513. And Bill, you're on the air. Thanks for waiting.
Good morning. I tuned in a little late, but I did want to add to what has already probably been said, namely, thanks for having the pros and cons.
Mm-hmm.
And number two, what prompted my call was this discussion you've already had on we will be increasing the opportunity for the debt burden to be increased because that's the way the thing is written. But I don't think that came across very clear.
Well, I think that you make the point when you use the word opportunity. This you know, Ted, why don't you say, we were talking about a little bit more during the break, Bill, and this debt limit doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be sucked up by this program.
Oh, well, they don't have to even worry about that. We have a debt service limit in Ohio,
right.
5% of revenue coming in.
And it would...
This is completely outside, not inhibited in any way by those restrictions. We can fill up those for other programs.
Right.
This thing will keep it, will be above that in addition to that. And my second question, if the longest ever, we all agree on that, then... The second question is, how much interest are we going to end up paying on the debt we created to run the program?
Okay. Thanks for your call, Bill.
Sure.
I don't have an answer for that, but what I can reiterate here is that the tax revenues that are being generated as a result of the additional economic activity, employment, company expansion, taxes that are being paid is going to repay everything that's been spent to date by 2014.
Okay.
The numbers I have say it's going to be $700 million bond issue, and the total payback will be $917 million. That was information I saw, and I mean, I'm not sure that that's exactly accurate, but so it'll be about $917 million it will cost the state taxpayers when this is over. You know, the fact is, I mean, you know, if it doesn't affect the debt limit, I mean, it is still borrowing taken on by the state. It's still money that has to be paid back by state taxpayers, and it's still money that is being taken away from essential government services. I mean,
well, why do you say that? Because they wouldn't be doing this. Why do you say that? Can you explain that more? Because the exception here is that this is not a bricks and mortar project. Most these things, bond issues, usually go for bricks and mortar.
No, I mean, I'm talking more in general that it is outside the debt limit as has been discussed, but it is still money that has to be paid back by the state taxpayers, you know, one way or the other. I mean, it's still borrowing that's being taken on by the state government, and it still has to be repaid. And that, and the money to repay it has to come from state taxpayers at a time when Ohio is having budget problems. I mean, the Ohio budget has been a mess for a good number of years,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to continue to be a mess, you know, throughout the period when this money has to be repaid. And so every dollar that has to be paid on interest and in principal on these loans is money that's taken away from, you know, from police, from universities, from Medicaid, you know, from all the other services, you know, from the, you know, the more the social spending that was being discussed earlier.
Okay, so you're talking about paying off the debt, and
yeah, correct.
Is what's taking that away out of the general revenue fund, and Ted
correct.
Ford saying, well, no, because the revenue coming from the taxes that are being paid by these companies is making up for that, and we'll cover that eventually.
And my point would be that these businesses, if they were successful businesses, would be creating jobs without the Third Frontier. And if the only reason they exist is because of the Third Frontier, then that is a misallocation of resources. If they cannot get private funding, it's an indication that perhaps these aren't really truly good businesses. And the funding that is, you know, being taken in the form of borrowing and in the form of taxes to fund these businesses would be better allocate, you know, better left in the hands of you know, businesses that already exist in Ohio to expand, you know, instead of the current business is being taxed and current entrepreneurs being taxed to pay for this, you know, corporate welfare going to these Third Frontier grantees. It would be better left in their hands to create jobs and grow the economy.
Okay. Now, from what I understand now, the Strickland administration has estimated that the state will pay about $200,000 in interest on the renewal of the third. Okay. We're not sure of that number, but that might be it. Let's take a call now from Warren. You said you can't write a business plan because you don't know expenses. What do you mean by that? Or wait a minute, am I talking to Murph?
Yes.
Oh, sorry, Murph. You want to know if your company qualifies for Third Frontier, and I bet you any money Ted Ford can't give you an answer on the spot. Can you be a little bit more specific about what you want to know?
Well, I can give you some generalizations. I won't give you details
okay.
because some of them are very proprietary.
Oh, well, all right. But do you expect him to give you an answer on the air right now?
Well, I would hope. I've had conversations with the Farm Bureau. We have a process that will take waste farm and forest waste and convert that to electricity, capture the CO2, and use it in a greenhouse to accelerate growth of organic vegetables.
Okay.
It's not been done before in all in one place. Each process has been done before.
Okay. Now, Ted?
Yeah, well, you know, this is exactly the type of calls that we get frequently, and I would encourage you to go to our website, techcolumbus.org. There is a opportunity there that says Engage Now. There's a button that you can click on and input your information. We'll be in touch with you, sit down with you, and talk through the idea. So this is exactly the idea stage type company that we work with all the time.
Okay, okay, it's T-E-C-H?
Yeah, it's T-E-C-H-C-O-L-U-M-B-U-S, all one word.
.org.
.org.
And if you go to WOSU.org/allsides, we'll have that link posted there for you. Thanks, Murph, for your call.
Thank you.
All righty, now we're going to get to poor old Warren. Hey, Warren, sorry about that.
How are you doing today?
Fine, thanks.
I've got a question here, and I've got a company that an opportunity to start another company based on a patent that I've applied for. It's been out there for 4 years. I'm still waiting on the government on that to increase combustion efficiency on the various types of natural gas, oil, burning equipment. And one of the processes you go through for any of this is to put together a pro forma balance sheet and income statement and all those kind of things. And how do you get at what your people expense is going to be when, and I'll give you the problem I'm having, how do I account for what this new health care bill is going to cost?
Yeah, you know, that's a question I had is how does somebody who's just getting started make promises they have no idea if they can keep? And Ted, how do you help folks in that position?
Well, we sit down and we talk through first the idea. What is the business you want to pursue? Do you know that there's a market for it? How do you know there's a market for it? What do you know about what it is you're trying to do? There's going to be uncertainties in any business launch, so you can't tell what's right around the corner. Everything from economic downturns to you name it.
Well, let me give you an example. If I can reduce your fuel consumption in your industrial plant by 2 to 5%, you think that might be interesting?
I think that'd be interesting.
Everybody I've talked to thinks it'd be real interesting.
I've got
a working, two working models.
Yeah. Okay, we'll go to Tech Columbus. Go to TechColumbus.org.
We want to talk to you.
This isn't a clearinghouse, Warren. All righty, go to TechColumbus.org. All right.
I'll do that, but I still haven't got a clear picture of what it's going to take to figure out what the cost, this health care cost, is going to be.
Well,
I've started my own company. I've got one I run now for the last 20 years, okay? My biggest single expense isn't products or anything. It's people. That's the single biggest expense is people.
Yep.
Now, how do I build? How do I know what numbers to put down? Because if I put the wrong numbers down, I could go out of business because I made a bad guess.
Well, I would imagine that everybody's sort of in the same boat on that, aren't they, Ted?
Yeah, they are.
So but for the same token, we want to hire people to grow new jobs. How are you supposed to do them when you don't have a way to get at the numbers?
Okay.
I mean, just sitting back and waiting for somebody to say, okay, this is what it's going to cost.
Okay. Well, you know what, Warren? Let's let Ted respond to that. Okay.
Yeah, I would just encourage you, if you've got a new company or you've got a company that you're trying to expand, to go to our website and click on the Engage Now button, and let's sit down and have a discussion.
All righty, Warren. I did wonder about that, though. One of the criticisms I've read about the program is that if you don't get the grant or the loan that you're requesting, there's not a you don't deconstruct it later for them and tell them why. And that's been acknowledged as a problem. What might be done to address that issue?
Well, we certainly do that at Tech Columbus, and I think the state is prepared to do that with anybody that they evaluate. So it's not a question of us not being willing to do that. I think we do try to share feedback on how a business plan can be improved or where we saw issues that need to be addressed. So we've had companies that have come back to us several times. Oftentimes we discover they don't really need funding. What they need is coaching. They need assistance of various kinds in order to get really focused on what their business is going to be.
Mark Kilmer, any final thoughts about this? I'm wondering if the voters didn't pass it, what do you make of that? If they don't pass it and there's this program suddenly ends, is that good for Ohio?
Well, I think it would be better for Ohio than it continuing on. I mean, obviously there would be some disruption to those businesses which are, you know, plugged into the Third Frontier network. But this program was slated to end. It was set up as a finite program. It should have been operated as such and not, people not counting on this iffy vote. But over the long run, if Ohioans do not incur this debt and have to pay it back, almost $1 billion payback, that will be the money that will be left for, you know, the state government to be able to use to balance its budget and to fund necessary government services.
$219 million in interest. I got that number confirmed. Ted Ford?
Yeah, I just want to comment. Ohio has gone through a lot over the last decade. We've lost a lot of jobs. The worst job loss since the Great Depression. The state has to do something to turn this economy in the right direction and to accelerate the growth of the kinds of companies and industries that are going to be the employers of the future. We have to do it. So we have high unemployment. We have people losing their homes. If the state was not doing something about that at this point in time, we would be outraged. So the Third Frontier is not an endless program. The $700 million is a five-year renewal. It is our fervent hope that as we go forward that this economy is going to reposition itself around growth industries and that this type of thing is not needed indefinitely. But we do have to continue at this point in time. We have to continue what we've started. And I think the $700 million over 5 years is a very reasonable number. Again, there will be a return on that investment to the state that will more than compensate for the money that's borrowed, and I think we will see a rising tide for all boats. So we must pass issue one.
I want to thank my guests. Ted Ford, you just heard him speak. He's president and CEO of Tech Columbus. And if you want to learn more about Tech Columbus, that's the Central Ohio organization that works with entrepreneurs to get this money to them. It's techcolumbus.org, and we'll have that link on wosu.org/allsides. Ted, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And also Mark Kilmer. He is from the Maryland. He's a senior fellow at the Maryland Public Policy Institute. He also was with the Ohio free market think tank Public Policy Solutions, which is why he's so familiar with this program. And Mark, thank you so much for joining us today.
All right. Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it. This has been All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820. This is listener supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus and streaming on the web at WOSU.org, WOSU 820 NPR News.